Blog Talk Radio.
One, everything is going to be all right. You're listening to Tippy Talk. Time now to sit back, relax, listen, and enjoy the moment. Newborn is the official band that provides all the music for Tippy Talk. To hear more of the music, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy the wonderful sound. And now it is time to step into the Tippy Zone, where we explore the other side of reality, the side that allows you to reshape your life, step into your power, and connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk, where we go from where you are to where you want to be. I'm your host, Tippy Feldstein. Have a special show for you today, which is Healing from Harmful Religion. This show and this topic is really very, very close to my heart because I went through it, of course. Anything you go through something, you get a certain feeling, a certain personal interaction with any kind of situation, you get passionate about it because you understand it and because you want to pass on everything that you've learned about it. It's just a natural phenomenon, I think, but it could be that it's not everybody, because a lot of things that I assume that everybody feels the same way, I was wrong. Not everybody feels the exact same way. Today we have a guest, Beatrice Weber, who has been through more or less the same journey that I went through in a completely and totally different way. And I believe that she has a completely and a little bit of a different perspective than I have, which I find really, really charming. And I think you guys would find amazing. She is a wonderful soul who has been through the trauma of realizing that her religion is harmful, and that in itself is very traumatic to begin with, but then doing something about it when all the cards are stacked up against you and coming out on the other end without being hateful and resentful, but on the contrary, becoming a gentle person and a loving person, that's a miracle by itself. So I'd like to welcome Beatrice Weber to Tippy Talk. Welcome, Beatrice, and thank you so much for joining us.
Dee, I'm so glad to be on.
Me too. I'm so glad because I'm on the road, my way back from Lakewood, and it's raining, and I pulled over in a gas station, and somehow the equipment don't work as well when you're on the road. So I'm really thankful that you're here double, normally for coming in the first place, and double normally for being able to pull it off under those conditions. So thank you so much.
Okay, it's great to be on. I'm so glad and honored that you invited me to be here.
So today we're going to talk about a journey that you have gone through and that I may have gone through, but I don't want to focus on my story. I want to really hear about you and what you went through, because one of the things that you're going to do is give a speech about it coming up soon. So before we even start and people don't know anything about you yet, tell us about what you're going to be talking about, where you're going to be talking, and if somebody wants more of you, where can they come to?
Okay, so on April 28th, which is in 3 weeks from this Sunday, I'll be speaking in Tarrytown at the Awaken Fair at 3:30, and my topic will be gentle healing from harmful religions. I'm going to be saying some of my own personal story, and I know there'll be people attending in the audience that have experienced harmful religions, and I'm going to be providing some tips on how to heal in a gentle way. You can
and
find
I think
more
that's
information.
That's the key. That's the key here. Yes.
You can find more information at awakenfear.com and book tickets over there. It's a full day of amazing healing activities.
Okay, so if you guys like what we're going to talk about, and especially if you've been through some sort of a harmful religion, because personally to me, all religions are harmful in a certain way if they demand for you to follow their rules, their regulations with no two ways about it and no explanations, that's harmful.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
even if they give you rules and even if they give you explanations and even if they tell you why you're doing what you're doing, I think it's still harmful because it doesn't allow you to get in touch with your own inner self. And what I love about what you're going to talk about is the fact that you stay gentle and that you're loving and really that's really the only way to be able to heal when you wake up and go against everybody you know.
Yeah, what I've found during my process over the last 5 years, most importantly, but even the 5 years before that as well, is that it's not enough, it's not about what practices you do or don't do. It's really about the mindset, and it's really about healing that. And in my last blog post...
Yeah, 1 second, I'm... Obviously,
yes.
On the road, my car won't shut up. But yeah, now he shut up. Go ahead.
Okay. In my latest blog post, I actually wrote about the three characteristics of a harmful religion, and I felt like it was important to clarify because I started talking more publicly about it, and I felt it was important to clarify. And very similar to what you just said, it was three things that I focused on in that post. You know, and the first one was when there's a fearful God. Okay, when there's a scary God. You know, and the second thing was when there are requirements that you need to do, and if you don't, there's shaming and social ostracization. And the other thing was where you're encouraged to forsake your will for something else. And those three can really leave very long-term devastating effects. You know, I've spoken to people that have been out of harmful religions for decades, and they still struggle with these fundamental issues of who am I, what am I allowed to do, and to really understand that one can live a life from a place of freedom and love rather than from a place of fear and closeness is what this journey is all about.
Absolutely. I definitely can tell you that I've been out of this journey. I started this journey of getting out of this religion more than 25 years ago. And when I least expected, all of a sudden, I realized that some things still really affect me in such a huge way. Like, and I think it's a healing thing that you're going to go through your entire life. And I think the key that you got here that I love about what you're doing is that be gentle and be loving with yourself. And I think that's what makes a huge difference.
The way I see it...
Is that
it,
what you found?
Because the way I see it is the religion is harsh, right? It's harsh, it's demanding, the rules are strict. If you don't do them, there are repercussions. So in order to heal, you can't use those same tools that were used. You have to use different ones, and you have to find them and use them. Because essentially what one can do, and I've seen that... You may leave the religion, but if you're still using those same harsh, that same harshness to live your life, you're still not really gaining the full experience of life that's out there for you to enjoy and gain from. So that's why I'm really, really passionate about this gentle process.
Yeah, and especially when you really, all you have is those tools. You don't really have any other tools. You don't even have any other perspective. And so you don't even know that there are other tools around that you can use and that you have to find that first. And actually, you're very lucky when you do because I did not. And I think a lot of people do not unless they get help. And to find those tools is in itself a journey that takes a while. And continuing going on life with the only thing you have, you don't know what you don't know. So it's really like, that's why I love what you're doing, and that's why I'm really passionate about helping people that want to. I know also another thing, a lot of people that really want to get out of any religion, and they can't, and they don't know how. It's the family, it's the friends. And that brings me to maybe talk a little bit about your personal story. You were brought up in a certain religion. You knew that's all you knew. That's what you believed. That was life. Something has to happen to wake you up and say, there's got to be a better way. It doesn't just happen. Majority of people, percentage-wise, very small percentage of people are able to wake up. And it's either something very positive happens or something very negative. So what happened to you?
So I had an interesting experience. About 5 years before I left my marriage, I started going to college, and it was a result of realizing that there was something wrong in my marriage. I was feeling very depressed, and I realized after a little bit of time in therapy that, you know, my marriage is really not what it's supposed to be. I'm not being treated properly, and I started going to college. That in itself, going to get an education after never having graduated high school, was a very big deal. In my mid-30s, I remember being so scared to take that first college class and do that essay, and surprise, surprise, I actually did really well. So that was like my first step, and there's maybe something else. At that point, I had 8 children, and all I had done until then was completely devoted to my family. So taking that step was a big step. However, I still, to be clear, was very much within the religion, did not consider anything besides for that, and figured I'd be able to find my voice and my place within the religion. And
right, because you can't even imagine in your wildest imagination that that's not the way. You don't
even have
a clue.
I didn't feel that that would necessarily add anything to my life. Like, it wasn't something that I thought, oh, I'm so trapped, maybe there's something out there.
Right.
I thought that within the religion, I'd be able to find, you know, to find my own fulfillment, to find my happiness, to, you know, achieve my goals. I had grand goals, right, of going to college, and initially I wanted a PhD. I ended up with an MBA, but I had all these goals, and I was like, okay, I'll be able to really do all this within the religion.
Right.
And even when I left my marriage. Yeah. And some people do.
Yeah.
And I don't my goal in my work is really not about people who are happy within the religion. That's fine. If that's working for you and it's working well for you, that's fine. What I want to do is really focus on people who have left or on the cusp of leaving, who are frustrated, and to let them know there is a different way to live. And that's the message I'm spreading. Mm-hmm. There is a different way to live. Mm-hmm. There is a beautiful way to live.
I bet.
You know, and I
and you don't have to go on suffering. Right.
Yeah. No, you don't. You really don't. Yeah.
So you started going to college, and you did really well, and all of a sudden this whole new world opened up to you. Was there something about going to college that you expected, some expectations that you have? Like, why did you pick going to college? Did you want a job and you figure this would be a good training? What was it that made you want to go to college?
Partially was the job, and partially I love to learn. I always love to learn, and I thought that I would really enjoy going out there and learning. And again, as I say, I never graduated high school. I got married really young, never had opportunities for any studies at a younger age. So it was a matter of personal fulfillment and getting a job and figuring, well, my marriage isn't working. Maybe if I do something out of the house, there'll be a sense of fulfillment. And to be clear, I went to a college that was specially designed for women in my community. Okay, so it was a very sheltered environment, but it did provide me with some independence. I was going out a couple of times a week without my children, right, without doing something for my home,
just
solely as a separate thing. That was a very big step.
Wow. Yeah, it is. So all of a sudden you realize that you're actually a person outside of being a wife and a mother and a caretaker.
Yes, for the very first time in my life. You know, I went from being a good daughter, right, to a good wife, to a good mother.
Right.
So for the very first time in my life, there was this sense of, you know, I also have a life. Maybe there's something for
me,
too.
You're also a person.
Yeah,
So you went to school. You did really well. You studied a lot. And then what happened?
Well, unfortunately, as many people might have experienced, you know, if you're in a bad marriage, you're in a bad marriage, right? And going to college and getting that job is not fixing your marriage. And at some point, I realized the price I was paying for staying in the marriage was way too high. The impact it was having on my children, the impact it was having on me was just not worthwhile. You know, and the more I got my own voice and the more I recognized that I'm a person who does deserve to be treated well, the more the marriage wasn't working. And when I left my marriage, I had people telling me, oh, you're going to see, you're not going to be have the same relationship with the religion. And I was very skeptical, and I said, why do you think that? You know, I'm very, I think I'm going to, everything's going to stay just the same. I really didn't expect that anything would change. I thought that, I felt that I have the right within my religion to get a divorce, which is the full right of every woman, and continue living my life. But after that, I experienced a series of very serious betrayals, which really, really made me just look at it, everything from a completely different perspective. Because I had been taught, at least on an intellectual level, that, you know, a person deserves to be treated well. Those were the premises of religion. Mm-hmm. You know, you deserve to be treated well. Mm-hmm. A husband is supposed to treat his wife well. Like that, it's not that I was taught, and then when the actions of the people in power were not in line with it, caused me to step back and say, like, how does this make sense? But there really is another deeper level to all of this. After I experienced all that betrayal and really harsh, very, very harsh betrayal, and I mean, I can go into the details, but we've all experienced betrayal in ways we've never expected. And when you experience it from those closest to you, it's extremely hurtful.
So you're talking
I had to heal.
Close to you, like your parents, like your brothers. I mean, it couldn't be anything closer than that.
Exactly.
Maybe even
your
own children. So
exactly. When you experience that kind of betrayal, you know, it can either knock you over, right? It can either completely knock you over, it devastate you when you experience that kind of betrayal from such close family, or what it did to me was a determination to heal from it. And at a certain point, it became very clear to me that it was a spiritual healing, that I needed to heal in a spiritual and loving way. And at that point, the inconsistency in how I was being raised through the religion, what I was taught all those years through the religion, the harshness, the demand for doing certain things at a certain time, and if not, there was a punishment, just didn't align anymore with this loving healing that I was doing for myself. It was too inconsistent.
Mm-hmm. And how did that make you react when you saw that? Inconsistency and that, basically that, I would say, I don't know the word, but it was phony, like say one thing but do another thing.
It was really two layers. Like the first layer was the anger after I experienced the betrayal, you know, the anger.
Right.
You know, when I had a rabbi that was extremely supportive throughout my marriage. Right, so I expected when I went to him afterwards, he'd continue to be supportive. And when he was not and was manipulative and you know, was in a position where he had made a decision that all my children don't live with me, which was absolutely devastating because my children meant the world to me. And when I left with some of my children, I was so grateful. It was just beyond devastating, and I was so angry. So that was my first response to seeing the
anger.
Religion differently came from a place of real anger. I was just so angry about how is it possible I, who everybody knew, who I knew, was a devoted wife, a good mother, continue to be a good mother. Because I wanted freedom, because I wanted peace, was treated so badly, it just made me so angry. And then the next layer, which occurred about 2 years later, and that was a space where I was kind of vacillating back and forth with the religion. But 2 years later was when I started a healing that came from a very gentle and loving place. And then I really had to look at what it meant to have to live with a strict religion? Like, what was that impact? Like, how did it affect me, and how does it affect me? You know, and what do I want to observe, and what don't I want to observe, and how do I want to observe? And if I just continue believing all those beliefs of what I was taught all those years, how will I ever heal in a gentle and loving way?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you brought up some really important things here. When you're within any religion that does not accept any deviation, and if you do deviate from the rules and regulations of the religion, that community will reject you no matter how loving you are and no matter what you do. You're not following the rules, you're not one of us anymore, and you're not going to get treated like one of us. You're going to be treated in a very cruel, very harsh way. So that's one thing that you brought up about. Even if you wanted to stay within the religion, you couldn't, because they basically kicked you out, saying, no, you're not one of us, we're not treating you like a human being anymore. And then the second part of it is, you actually got a glimpse of what it's like to go outside that bubble. And the question is, would you be able to just go back inside the bubble and pretend you don't know anything else?
So I actually had a space where I did do that. And there was a time, you know, when I was full of that anger, I was scared. It is very scary when you grow up in a place and you've done things a certain way for so many decades, and that's all you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's very scary to step out, especially publicly. I almost compare it to like the coming out, right? When it seems trite to say it that way, but it really can be compared to that. You know, coming out of the closet is the term that's used a lot. So initially, I was being very secretive about what I believed and what I didn't believe, and what I observed and what I didn't observe. You know, when I was within, you know, the environment or in the community, I would pretend, which does exist. In the community. And then I said, this is too complicated. Let me try to go back and see how that works. You know, and I did that for a while. But then when my healing went to a deeper level of healing from a deep spiritual space, I couldn't do that anymore. Because it went a lot deeper. And I said, I cannot live with rules and a lifestyle that comes from a fearful, judging place. I can't do that anymore. So I really view it as a very spiritual journey, a very spiritual journey of finding myself, finding my own connection, and healing. And through that, finding healing and finding forgiveness. You know, a big part of my journey has been forgiveness and the understanding that forgiveness, you know, it doesn't mean I have a relationship with people that may have hurt me, but forgiveness means I let it go. And forgiveness means, you know, they're coming from their own space, but I'm able to let it go. And I'm not holding that resentment tightly, because holding that resentment tightly just hurts me. And, you know, I'm also not perfect. And they did the best they knew, and they did what they know. So it's really been a journey of that.
So forgiveness is a huge word that a lot of people use, and I think a lot of people use it wrong. And I think just striving for forgiveness is great. So I thought, and I went through the same thing, I think it's impossible to live that kind of community without going through the secret and not wanting, being terrified. For example, for me, I was not allowed to wear pants. I had to wear skirts. And so for a long time, I would put on my skirt on top of my pants and go somewhere else and take off the skirt. And I was terrified that somebody may see me. So I would go 3 cities away from where I lived. But that fear was so real that my heart literally would pump so fast that I almost thought I would faint every time I did it. So, of course, I wasn't going to come back, and I lived in secret. And I think everybody goes through that secret phase where you live it almost a double life. But a lot of people get stuck in that double life, and they stay that way forever, especially when they have kids and they build a life and they're older. And then coming out of the closet, as you put it, which I love that term, and saying, okay, I'm not going to do that in secret. I could say that that's probably one of the most terrifying things I ever experienced, other than the earthquake in LA that I experienced. It was very, so scary. And I don't think people can understand the fear of doing something like just as simple as that, putting on a piece of different clothes that you're not allowed to wear, that you have not worn. And I was 16, so I had not worn that ever in 16 years. And now all of a sudden doing something like that, you know what everybody's going to do. You know that everybody's going to shame you. And you know there's going to be a price for sure. And you're terrified because you're not even sure how big the price is going to be. You know it's going to be big. So that fear, I think, is very common. But forgiveness, like you said, it's not about saying it's okay what you did. And you work really hard on forgiveness. And the reason I'm bringing that up is because I thought I forgave a lot more than I actually did. And how did I realize? Because I really don't want to live in hate. I don't want to live in resentment. Other people do what they think is right. I do what I think is right. And they hurt me, and they don't really hurt me because they wake up in the morning saying, today we're going to go out and hurt Sippy because she deserves to be hurt. They're just doing what they know to do best. And I thought I forgave the community. But what happened was, and I left, so I wasn't around anyone within my religion. And then I came back, and all of a sudden, everybody around me was religious, and I was the outsider, and I was walking down the street, and I would see someone, and it would trigger me. Like, my heart would start pumping, and I'd be like, what am I really thinking? And honestly, what I was thinking is, that person hurt me. I hate him. And I thought I forgave everyone, and it all came bubbling up when I was dumped right smack in the middle. So forgiveness is something you might strive for, but it's a lot easier said than done. And I think it's a beautiful thing to go for, not meaning that it's okay what they did.
Oh, I always say I need to forgive every single day. You know, just because I forgave yesterday
over
doesn't mean I forgive
over.
Today. Yeah, over and over.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. It's a process
sense.
Because, again, the pain I experience every day, right, it hasn't gone away. Right, because there were very serious consequences. So it's every day. Do I choose to come from a place of love, or do I choose to come from a place of fear? You know, it's a choice every single day.
And resentment. And resentment.
And sometimes and sometimes several times a day. You know, where things will come up, and then it's how do I want to look at this? How do I want to view this? You know, I sit in the pain, but then do I want to stay there?
Mm-hmm.
Do I want to stay there?
Right.
And I make a choice every day because it is a choice every day. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I'm thinking that when you're completely healed or you get in the habit of making that choice, look, I'm going to be gentle with myself. I'm going to live in the place of fear and hate. I think eventually that habit takes over and that constant having to redo it over is gone. That's what I'm hoping for. But it's been a long time for me, and it's done. I don't have to do it every day anymore. But when I'm triggered, like if I'm dropped into that community for a reason that I have no control over and I don't want to be there, and I see just people that remind me of the things that happened to me, that's when I guess I have to do that. I have to say, okay, I've got to forgive, I've got to move on, I've got to let go of the resentment over again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great tip that I didn't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I think ultimately, that's the choice we all have in our lives, wherever we're coming from and whatever our challenges have been, right? You know, fear exists in so many different ways in so many different places, and it really is a choice. And that's kind of been part of my journey, you know, learning all of that and understanding all of that. Part of my healing journey has also come from studying more about religion, studying more about the origins of religion, of all religions, not only the religion I come from, you know, and that's also provided me with a lot of healing. Understanding the original intentions were often very good, and the original founders were very good. It quickly became organized. Right?
Something
became
different.
Organized.
Yeah.
But the
and
original
controlling.
Intention. Yeah, exactly. But understanding that the original intentions were good, and then being able to see similar processes in almost every religion has given me a sense of understanding of the dynamics, and that's also providing me with comfort. And I have been able to incorporate some rituals that I enjoy and appreciate, while others still trigger me very much. And that also that makes me very angry, and it makes me very sad, it makes me very angry till today, where there are certain rituals that because of the because they were associated while I was in the religion with so much pain, they're difficult for me to do. And I want to do them because I think they can be nice and add a lot to my life. So, but that's where the patience comes in, and that's where the gentleness comes in. You know, there'll be a time when I will feel comfortable, and that's okay. And now I can choose to do other things that feel comfortable today.
So it's been a tough journey for you, and obviously it's not. It hasn't ended. I don't think any journey ever ends. It's a lifelong way. So what it sounds to me like you've now, that you've been through the pain, you've learned a lot, that you want to give back something. And that's why you're doing this lecture. That's why you're doing your speaking engagement. What is it that you want to give back now? What is it that you want to accomplish now with what you're doing?
So from a bigger perspective, I really want to send a message out to the world. This is really a message out to the world that there is so much beauty, there is so much love, there is so much possibility of healing. Like, one doesn't need to stay in a constricted, closed place. You know, and this is a very spiritual message. So that's like my bigger overall vision. You know, but then particularly for the people that come from the community I came from, or other harsh religions as well. You know, because that's also the understanding that this is not the only harsh religion. There are many. Being able to tell them there is a gentle way to heal, because I have seen so much anger in people that have left, and so few resources. So few resources out there to help people in a very healing way. And my mission is really to provide people with that, you know, inspire them to really release, you know, the fear, perfectionism, shame that's so much part of you when you come from such a religion.
Mm-hmm.
Even as you say, years and years later, that still stays with you. You know, help them to release all of that and really be able to create amazing lives for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
So that's
so I'm
going to
do that.
Help.
Yeah, through one-on-one coaching, through workshops, and really, I believe that this is something that's so needed and so vital. Thought about this for a while. I've been scared to do it. Like I told you, I started my blog.
Mm-hmm.
I closed my blog several times,
but it
came to a point. You know where I said? You know what I said to myself? I said maybe there's this one person that checks my blog every single day to see if I'm writing something new. I started going live on Facebook a couple of days ago. Hundreds of views. You know, hundreds of views.
Wow.
And it just tells me that there are people out there that are listening and that need to hear this. Yeah.
Right, exactly. That's what I think. You don't know who you're going to attract and who needs it. And that's what I found, especially this past week. A lot of people have connected with me out of nowhere, that they needed me and I needed them. And it's always a mutual thing, too, because you always learn from anybody that you teach. That when you put yourself out there, and it's scary to put yourself out there, because first of all, it's the secretive part of, is my community going to find out and what are they going to do? That's still there. And then secondly, when you're out there are vicious people out there, and you're going to get attacked. There's no question about that. And the question is, how you're going to handle it? Is it going to destroy you? So it's very scary on so many levels. Very scary.
And but at some point, your passion for the work overrides all of those fears. And that's when you just jump in and you just do it. You just do it because you know how important it is. And, you know, what if I would have had somebody that would have been able to hold my hand through my process? I had to go find it all on my own. I had to go, you know, from one resource to another resource. And I'm so grateful, incredibly grateful to have found that huge combination of resources that have brought me to where I am today.
Right.
And what if I had somebody who 5 years ago was able to hold my hand and take me through that journey? I want to be that person for people going through that today.
Yeah, me too. I wish I would have had somebody that would have been able to help me so that I wouldn't have to go through so much pain and fear and anguish and really stumbling in the dark because you have no knowledge. I didn't even know what I was looking for, much less what I wanted. And even if I did know, I have no idea how to find it because all I ever knew was what I learned within that bubble of the religion. you can't step, you can't, I've never stepped out of it. And all of a sudden you step out of it and you're in this world and you assume certain things about the world which are completely not true because you've never been there. It's like going to another planet and assuming that everything is the same like on your planet. It's not.
Yeah.
It's all different. And so I wish I had somebody there. So I really appreciate what you're doing. And I think that's one of my things. I wish I can help people that need what I needed when I stepped out. But I love that you're stepping out and taking that kind of steps. And so you're going to be talking in a few weeks at the Awaken Fair. Actually, I'm going to be there
net.
Too, but I'm going to be there the latest.
AwakenFair.net.
Yeah.
And
AwakenFair.net.
Yeah. And you can see the information is on my website where you can see my blogs as well, Beatrice Weber with 1B.com. So you can get information there about the talk and see my other blog posts, see what I've written, and contact me there as well if you'd like any more information.
Great. And I spelled your name with 2 B's, which I'm going to correct. Thank you for mentioning that. I appreciate it. So Weber with 1 B, guys. And hopefully we'll see you at the Awaken Fair. If anybody wants to contact you, what's your website?
Is Beatrice, my first name, and my last name, Weber.com.
Simple, easy. All you have to do is go to BeatriceWeber.com. If you want to hear her talk, you can come to the Awaken Fair. I will be there too. I will be talking about different ways of loving yourself. What does that mean? What does that not mean? And Beatrice will be giving an amazing talk, which I recommend, even if you have never been through a harmful religion, I think it would also help you if you've been through a harmful experience where people that you love betrayed you. I think that's really the bottom line. People that you love, people that are supposed to be there protecting you for the rest of your life betray you. The trauma of going through that, whether it's through religion, whether it's through simple abuse or any other way, there are special steps that you can take that can help you heal. And I think Beatrice has found the first couple of steps and she's still on that journey. So somebody that talks to you that not only has been there and they experienced that situation with their own blood, nobody can help you better. Nobody can, and especially somebody that wants to give you that guiding hand, you can't miss it. So hope to see all of you there. And Beatrice, any last thoughts that you might have? Hello?
Yes.
Beatrice,
there's
are you
there? Always,
yeah, any
yeah,
last?
My last thoughts are just a message of hope. There's always a resource out there. There's always a way to heal, and there's always a way to bring more love into your life and live life from a loving place.
Wow. That's the most beautiful way to end it. I couldn't think of anything better to say. So with that, I'd like to really thank everybody for joining us today. We love having you, and we want you to join us again next week. This will be broadcast live on Monday, this Monday and next Monday. Actually, no, it's going to be archived. It's not going to be broadcast live. We hope you enjoyed it. Hope you come back and join us. Thank you so much, Beatrice, for joining us. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Tippi. Yeah, bye-bye.
Hey, everybody, if you have stayed on the line throughout the music, and I know that not too many of you have, I am now on the road driving in the rain, and therefore cannot end this show. So what I'm going to do is tell you a little bit about my story of what happened to me and why I can relate so strongly to healing from harmful religions and why it really touches me. And yes, I was born into a family that was very orthodox and lived within a bottle or a bubble of rules and regulations, and was really, I don't think there was anything that we did that wasn't dictated by the leaders on how to do it. I mean, anything from having children to having sex to how to wake up in the morning to how to dress to how to talk, how to walk. And not all the rules were bad. As a matter of fact, I don't think any of the rules were necessarily bad rules. They were just some unnecessary rules. Some necessary rules, like societal rules that everybody has, like don't hurt each other, don't do anything negative, don't talk about each other in a bad way. How people should treat each other is not necessarily a bad thing, but how to dress and very strictly and not deviating from that, that was a little bit harmful and invasive. How to have sex, how to eat, what to do before you eat, what to do after you eat, when to eat, very, very, very restrictive in every sense of the way. But when you live within that bubble of religion, you don't really see it as restrictive because that's all you know. You see it as a way of life. And if you come from a loving environment, then that way of life is fine because you feel the love. And I think as a human, as humanity, we just really want to be loved and we want to be happy. And that's all we really want. So for me, I was shocked when people that have been brought up within the same bubble that I talk to see, and of course we're taught about God and how to worship God and what God is. And you can take different people that were brought up with the same ideology that even see that in a different way. So, for example, for me, God was a very gentle and loving and kind and understanding. And for other people who were brought up with the exact same ideology, saw God as harsh and punishing and angrily watching you. And that was pretty shocking to me because I thought that everybody that would be brought up with the ideology that I was brought up with would see things the same way. Well, they don't. If you had parents that were loving and if you were treated with love and respect, then you see God as loving and gentle. And if you were taught the exact same ideology but had parents who were harsh and unloving, then you might see God as a harsh and judgmental and mean thing. So even that is individual. Even that is something that you can't generalize and say, oh, you came from that religion and this is how you see things and this is how things work. So that's not how things work for me. But the things that we do have in common, and the things that everybody that comes from a restrictive and rule type of religion, like Jehovah's Witnesses, like Scientology, like Judaism, like Islam, you can't deviate from certain things that the community expects you to do. I think even in Islam, if you get fanatic enough and you decide that you do not want to be part of that community, you actually have a contract taken out on your head. I think that Scientology, you really get harassed and cut off from everybody. So it's a little bit harsher in some places than other, but it's harsh no matter what. Even if you're not going to get killed, it actually does feel that way. It feels like you are going to get killed because you're going to lose everybody you love. So when I came out of it, like I said before, I was really, really scared all the time. And when the first time that I didn't feel fear was when I went away 3,000 miles away from home and stepped off the airplane. And all of a sudden, for the first time in my adult life, being 17 years old, I wasn't even an adult, I felt not afraid. Not afraid to be who I want to be, not afraid to breathe, not afraid to do things that, like get dressed a certain way, talk a certain way, do things that I was. It was just for the first time in my life I felt freedom. So even though I went there for 3 weeks, 3 years later, I did not want to come back. Who wants to come back to being afraid? And another thing that I think everybody has in common when they first experience the wrath and the rejection of a community that supposedly loved you and you were okay 2 weeks ago, but now you're not okay because you don't follow their rules anymore, is anger. And that anger was definitely with me. I was angry at my mother. I was angry at her husband. I was angry at my sisters. I was angry at everyone for such a long time. And that's the part when you need someone to help you, because when you're angry, you literally can destroy your own, you destroy your own life. You may be angry at other people, but being angry is like drinking poison and hoping somebody else will die. Because when you're angry, you make really, really stupid choices. And even though I do not want to admit it, I was angry and I made a lot of stupid choices. A lot of those stupid choices were because I was angry, but also a lot of those stupid choices were because I didn't have a clue on how to live life outside of that bubble. I didn't really understand that I had control of my life without being dictated about every single thing that I had to do. And so I could do stupid things and it wouldn't hurt me, and that's not true. You do stupid things, you pay for it. But whatever you do, there's consequences. And that's the period of anger is the period where you need the most help and you resist it the most. And that's the period that I think, for me, that I would love to be able to step in to people that are going through the same thing, the same trauma, and experiencing the anger and helping them deal with it so that they don't deal with it the way I dealt with it. So if you've been listening to the whole show and you step through this music, which I think is beautiful music, I love this band, and you actually heard me talking about my thoughts on the other side of the music, I hope you enjoyed it. I would love to hear some feedback from you and hear about your experience and your journey, because I'm sure it's different, but I'm sure you have a lot of things in common with me, no matter where you come from. Unless you've had no one ever betrayed you, and unless you've had the charmed life where nothing ever hurt you, and you've never gone through a period where you got angry at things that were done to you, then you can probably identify with that. I'd like to wish everyone a really happy weekend. It is Friday afternoon right now, April 5th, I believe it is, 2019. And we are sitting here. I'm right now driving over a bridge, which I really have to focus on. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to end this and see you guys again on the next Tiki Talk.